Welcome to the weekend edition of the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. Today's podcast features all the best segments from this week's slate of Undisputed. With in-depth interviews and discussions, we have a lot to talk about heading into next week. Skip, Shannon, let's get to it.
The 12th man was silenced by one man yesterday. Lamar Jackson solidified his case as an MVP candidate after rushing for 116 yards, including a crucial 8-yard touchdown run on fourth down. With 9 games left to play, Lamar's third 100-yard rushing game this season has already tied the NFL record for QBs. And this game marked just the second time that an AFC team has ever beaten Russell Wilson in Seattle. And after the game, Jadeveon Clowney called Lamar, quote, the new era Michael Vick. Well, look who is joining us now. Michael, good to have you. You agree. Well, there you go. Does Lamar have a realistic chance to be better than you when all this is said and done?
Yes, I think so. And I say that because Lamar's in a system that was designed to fit his skill set. Right. And John Harbaugh and Greg Roman spent this entire season putting this system together to go out and execute it. And Lamar had this type of experience in college. It was he was in Petrino's offense.
And right.
They did some similar things, but they was more on the pass-heavy side. Now it's a system where it's predicated towards running the football and attacking the defense in that fashion. And he's doing some things within the run game and in the passing game when he's looking downfield, nothing's open, takes off and scrambles and make things happen. And I didn't have this type of system until 2006. I ran for 1,000 yards.
Right.
And it's evident that Lamar is going to rush for 1,000 yards this season and years beyond. So I look forward to watching him progress as a passer and in the run game, because that's not going to change until he says, okay, I want to change my game and look different.
Right.
You know, coming to the game as a passer first and then his ability is to
run.
So
what happened in 2006? What changed?
It was more wildcat style. It was more read options, zone read. And we put that into place, studied it all offseason. Nobody knew what was exactly what was coming. And, you know,
who
was just
calling plays then?
Greg Knapp. So we went from the West Coast system to a system where we still had all the same concepts, but we was mixing in all the zone read stuff. And it caught everybody off guard.
Right.
By the time they adjusted, I was already, you know, 800-900 yards in. Wasn't the best season, but just very effective. So I think Lamar is going to be, yes, he's going to surpass some of the things that I've been, I was able to accomplish. Even though I did some great things and it was, you know, some freaky stuff happened.
But saw a lot of
he's doing
stuff.
The same thing.
Right.
And it's just exciting to see. I sat back yesterday and I watched the game and I'm like, oh, this is what it looked like.
Right.
You know, had me on the edge of my seat. And it's very impressive, man. And just, you know, shout out to the coaches because they're the guys that put the system in place. And game plan and said, look, we are going to use this guy's talents and take advantage of what he can do and put pressure on defense.
So are you okay he's running as much as he continues to run?
Yes, while he's young. When I was in my first and second year, I'm talking, I could take hits, pop back up. You know, I had a running back's mentality.
Right.
And nothing was going to change that. I knew our best chance at winning, yes, could come in the passing game, and I would make my plays in the passing game, but my running abilities was going to take effect at some point, and I was going to use them to the best of my abilities and not worry about getting hurt, you know, not worry about how many hits I'm taking, just go out and play lights out. And he's having fun at this stage, and that's why I say at some point he'll continue to diversify his game in the passing game, but longevity is going to be the key. How long can he sustain it? How long can he keep it up? And we'll see what happens.
You mentioned John Harbaugh, who's the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, but Greg Roman. And people need to take this back to Greg Roman. Greg Roman was in the San Francisco.
Yes.
Greg Roman was the offensive coordinator. When the 49ers went to the Super Bowl, he was the offensive coordinator. And who was the quarterback?
Colin Kaepernick.
Colin Kaepernick, the guy that in a playoff game ran for 181, threw for 263.
Yes.
So this is why Marty Morningwig was the offensive coordinator last year. This is why John Harbaugh wanted Greg Roman as his offensive coordinator because he has already diagrammed and designed a system to fit a quarterback with that skill set.
Yes.
And see, the luxury that Lamar has, that Mike, that you didn't have, is that he can learn from all the mistakes that you made on the field.
Right.
He can say, and you talk to him.
Yeah.
You says, well, this is the mistake that I made here. Lamar says, I can stay away from that trap. Well, I made a mistake there. I can stay away from that trap. So he gets an opportunity, Skip, to learn from someone that came. I don't know if you talked to anybody because there weren't a whole lot of guys that had your skill set. You know, Randall Cunningham comes to mind, and people don't realize how talented Randall was, Skip. But if I'm not mistaken, Randall led the nation in punting as a senior.
Yeah, I remember.
And UNLV, yeah. And UNLV, Skip. People don't realize just how talented he was. But Lamar has the luxury of leaning back on this guy. Lamar is a little different. You had flat inline speed that you can just go. But Lamar can shake you. Lamar got wiggle.
Yeah.
If you look at it, he'll start doing this, and the next thing you know, he's past you.
Mm.
And he's doing a good job of getting down. He's not taking that big, big shot yet.
No.
And they're running him just enough. What makes him so difficult, Skip, is the thing that makes these guys like he and Mahomes and some of these other guys, Skip, okay, there's a play call. You have a defense designed to stop that play. Okay, what happens when you have that play covered?
Mm.
And then he takes off running. What play did you call to stop that?
Because
that's where he's going to hurt you. It's already tough enough if they call a design run to try to get him on the ground. But when they call a pass play and you scatter, and now he sees a crease,
right.
He jumps out the window, good luck.
Good luck.
And when that defense is opportunistic, and I told you, you got to watch out for Marcus Peters, Skip. Russell forgot him.
He got him.
Big addition.
He's an area corner. He doesn't like to play a man. He likes to play an area. And he'll play 2-by-1. And Russell forgot. He snuck off like he was going to cover one up the rail. And then Russell tried to come out late, and he jumped it.
His instincts.
But Lamar Jackson, Skip, he's ahead of where I thought he would be throwing the football.
Yep.
Yeah. And I said this. Ozzie, yes. I talked to Ozzie at the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
He said, boy.
Ozzie Newsome.
Ozzie Newsome, yep. who was the general manager mm-hmm. for 20 years.
Yep.
He said, boy, he's better than you think throwing the football. He said, we're going to surprise a lot of people. He said, he's going to surprise a lot of people. I'm like, Ozzie, don't bull jive now.
Yeah.
He said, he's going to surprise a lot of people, boy.
There you go.
And Skip, throwing the football, he surprised some people. He's not surprised me, his running ability.
Yeah.
You don't rush for 1,500 yards in college, Skip, yeah. And all of a sudden forget how to run. But he did throw for 3,500 one year, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So people forget that he can throw, but just could he transfer what he could do in college? Could he transfer? And he's just going to get better and better. The question is longevity. You can't, you know, running quarterbacks don't have mm-hmm. a long shelf life.
Yep.
He's going to have to, you know, have to graduate mm-hmm. real quickly yep. into more passing than running.
Mm.
But, Skip, he's the real deal.
He is so real that the most significant statement I heard after any game yesterday came from Pete Carroll after this game. And he said, and I paraphrase his quote, he was much faster than we saw on film.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a statement from a guy who's been around
really
a long
yesterday.
Time.
He looked really fast yesterday.
But, yeah.
He was flying. He said he changed his shoes early because he
yeah.
couldn't get traction.
Right.
Yeah. He said, went back to my old ones because he said linebackers were catching him for a while. And once he started flying, he was flying. Remember, Pete Carroll's been around a long time.
Yeah.
He coached a lot of defense.
Yes.
All the way back to all those stud defenses at USC.
Mm-hmm.
And so he knows fast.
Mm-hmm.
He coached Reggie Bush. You know, he knows
yes.
fast.
Yes.
Fast.
Yeah,
he knows
and,
speed.
And he was blown away.
Coached against Vince Young.
There yep. you go. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And what he saw was extraordinary. What I saw was extraordinary. I thought Chris Carson was a good running back, and I'm not belittling Lamar's, but he was the best running back on the field,
mm-hmm.
and he outplayed Russell Wilson yep. throwing the football yep. to me. Mm-hmm. And it was a close call there. And again, I'm going to defend you on one point. Lamar does not have your arm strength because you had a cannon. I mean, a
no.
cannon. You could yeah. load up and throw it 70 yards. He doesn't have that kind of arm. But it is an accurate arm with average arm strength, which will work in this league.
Right.
You know, it'll yeah. work because he gets it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't make, wild throws or crazy. He
right.
doesn't try crazy things. There were a couple times yesterday where he's telling, just go here.
Right.
Mark Andrews dropped 3 balls on him yesterday.
Yeah.
Those yardage, this right. 143 would have been a lot better.
Yeah.
And he did not have Hollywood Brown again.
Right.
So that'll help yeah. going forward.
Right.
So I think he is already, look, that Michael Vick experience, you're talking about quarterback wiggle. Nobody's had the quarterback wiggle that guy had.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Right.
And I get you. Lamar, in a straight line, he's got like subtle wiggle with
yeah,
this
slithering.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, where the guy, it's so fast, it's coming so fast
yes.
at you that the DB's on skates,
right.
and all of a sudden, he doesn't have to shift very much,
yeah.
and you can't get a hold of
right.
it.
Right. When I first came into the league, I was sort of afraid to just let my talents flow. I
yeah.
thought that I would run the football.
Yeah.
Running the football was just too much. It was too extreme, and you know, I did it in college, and I'm yeah. like, how would this translate into the National Football League? And to your point, he comes in with an example of, listen, I could just let my game go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I always thought at Louisville, he was a good passer. I just didn't know what type of system he would land in and how they would use him.
Right.
But, you know, this guy and his abilities to run the football, when they go into a run set and it looks like run and it ends up being a pass, then you got the defense all away, all out of whack. And then you come back and it's a pass and it looked like run. It's just hard to stop, and that's what the offense is centered around. This guy's going to go really, really
far. What I love about what's happening in Baltimore, this young man has won this team over completely.
Absolutely, yeah.
And
absolutely.
He's won his head coach over because of the play in question, the fourth down play. They were sending the field goal team on, and he ran to Harbaugh and said, no, I got this.
Right. Good point. Yeah.
And he was so convincing that Harbaugh said, okay. And what did they call? Quarterback power. They just played quarterback. Yep. So you just go to the right and you just do. And he said, I saw a seam up the gut and I just cut it up.
Well, I saw last week they had NFL films and they said Lamar, they called Lamar over. They said, we're going to go for it on fourth down. He turns back and said, no, coach, I'm going to score now. Oh, Lamar said he's going to score now, so don't worry about it. So John is telling the other coaches, Lamar said he's going to score on this play. This was last week. Skip, he's special. I mean, I think the thing is, and we people say, oh, he's a system. Every quarterback is a system quarterback, which means they have a system in place that's best suited to what they can do. They put a system around him.
Yep.
Why would you try to make him run Aaron Rodgers, a Tom Brady system, when that's not what he does?
Let him do what he does.
Greg Roman, John Harbaugh, hired Greg Roman and says, do what you did with Cap.
He did.
Let him run, let him throw, and let's see what happens. Yep. And you see what's happening.
Okay, so I'm going to ask both of you quickly here. 2 weeks from now, they get a bye. They're going to host the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. What shot do you give Lamar and company against Brady and Belichick?
That's a tall ask. That's a tall ask.
I still think he'll be effective in the game. I think he'll be a difference maker. If they win the game, it'll be because of Lamar.
Wow.
Without a doubt.
Coach Belichick will probably spy him. He's probably going to have to beat him throwing the football.
Okay.
They're going to crowd the line of scrimmage. Coach Belichick will play five guys. They'll play eight guys close to the line
of
scrimmage.
Stop the run, make a pass.
Before yesterday, I would have laughed at the notion of Baltimore upsetting New England, even in Baltimore. But after what I saw at Seattle, I'm going to be on the edge of my seat for this one, because if anybody can pull it off, that young man can with the belief the team has. Yes. Right.
That's a good point. Yeah. They have embraced his strengths, and we've seen that right now. Well, there's been speculation that Tom Brady could be leaving the Patriots after this season. The 42-year-old quarterback has his home up for sale and can void his contract in the offseason. And when asked about that speculation yesterday, Brady didn't outright dispute the rumors. Brady claimed he is taking it day by day and said, quote, I don't know what the future holds. We're now joined by Rob Parker. But Shannon, I will start with you here. What do you make of these comments?
Oh, well, hello. Come on. What happened?
Day by day.
I'm playing the 45. That's etched in stone. Everybody, I don't know why people want me to retire. I'm having so much fun. I mean, I thought I was watching a country western video. The guy up there all slumped and like, I don't know. I'm taking it day by day. You know, there are a lot of people that sacrifice so much. They're getting old.
That is so true. So country.
Yeah. What happens, guys? What happened?
He was.
That's all I know from me, from what my vantage point, sitting in my, you know, my palatial estate. You know,
I'm up in Bel Air.
I don't worry about where it is, Skip Bayless. My palatial estate.
Bel Air.
To my ears, I'm listening. I'm like, man, that don't sound like a guy talking about he gonna play three more years, Skip. And the realization, that epiphany that you have.
Yep.
That, Skip, he's not the same guy. He see it.
Really?
He knows it.
Interesting.
He's not playing till he's 45. I'm sorry. I don't like to be the bearer of bad news. Harbingers, I think that what the term is they use. So I won't be that to you, Skip. But you're going to lose that bet.
So the first year of this show, Shannon Sharp predicted this is the last year of Tom Brady. And the second year of this show, this is the last year of Tom Brady. And the third year, this is the last year. Now it's amended to the last year in New England.
I said, Skip, he's going to play 20 seasons. I said, this might not be his last year, but it's going to be his last year in New England. You said, no, he's playing 45 in New England. I said, Skip, it's going to be a last year in New England.
I think you're right, Shannon, from the standpoint that he just realizes that you might want to play to 45, but the Patriots are going to have to look at where he is, the age. And Skip, even you could admit when you watch him now, I know I've been saying he's going to fall off the cliff for the last 3 years, but I've been watching and it ain't pretty. It's the Tin Man. 11 touchdowns, 4 picks. We saw in the Super Bowl, they won a Super Bowl, Tom Brady. No touchdowns, a pick. Had, 160 yards.
When it said QBR, Skip loves QBR.
QBR was terrible. Brady's being carried by this team this year by the defense.
Wait, did you see him against the Chargers?
Since then, Skip. Let's go. If we started the Super Bowl, and look at this year. This year is about the defense. It ain't about Tom Brady. When they show highlights on the Patriots, it's always about some takeaway, Sony Michel. It's not about Tom Brady. And when they play a good team like they play Buffalo, he struggled.
Everybody struggled against Buffalo.
Yeah, no, he struggled worse.
Who won the game? Oh, that's right. He won the game.
See, when he win, but what about Dak? Dak didn't win against Green Bay. You talking about, look at that QBR.
Okay, but we're not talking about Dak. I do appreciate you put Dak in the same conversation as Tom Brady.
I do believe this is it in New England. And you know this, Skip. All of these great quarterbacks finish elsewhere. Brady has an itch, and he wants to play one more year.
You're saying he's washed up. How could he get anybody to take him?
Because the Jacksonville Jaguars might say, you
know what? Sell tickets.
That's right.
Really? Yeah, does he want to go to...
How can you sell tickets when you're washed up?
Because he's Tom Brady.
Exactly.
Really? The same reason Joe Namath and Johnny Unitas.
You're saying he might play till he's 45.
No. He's not playing in New England on Coach Belichick dime.
On his watch.
So the other night, I'm watching him against the Jets, and this is the same defense that just terrorized Dak Prescott, knocked him down 12 times. He was thrown from his back half the time. Greg Williams, one of the best defensive minds in football, just attacked Dak Prescott the whole time. They tried to attack Tom Brady the other night. Guess who he was throwing passes to? You ever heard of Brandon Bolden? You know Brandon Bolden?
Yep.
He's a backup running back, like fourth string running back and special teams player. Tom Brady threw a back shoulder fade to Brandon Bolden, and it came to that the other night. Yeah. He was thrown to an undrafted rookie free agent who used to be a quarterback at NC State.
Did he have an NFL uniform
Myers.
On?
Yeah, well, I don't know how, because he wouldn't have it for anybody else.
You do know how.
He threw a pass to somebody named Eric Tomlinson, about the fifth string tight end that used to be Rob Gronkowski. Eric Tomlin, undrafted out of UTEP 4 years ago. You ever heard of Eric Tomlin?
Hey, Skip, his family knows who he is. Yeah.
Ben Watson is 38 years of age, and Tom Brady's throwing crucial passes, a big fourth and five pass. He hit Ben Watson, and he caught it. Yeah. He dropped the first one. He threw him right in the hands. The first drive, which I thought the Jets had a chance in this game because they were riding high after they just thumped those Cowboys. The first drive, Tom Brady, again, guess what? The Jets said, well, we'll let you have the ball first because we don't think you can do this to our defense, Greg Williams is saying. And Tom Brady completes 3 straight third down passes to take them down for a touchdown. All the way down the field to score, and it took 8 minutes of clock. It was extraordinary to me. He is still Tom Brady playing at the same level.
No, not.
I'm sorry, you guys are seeing ghosts just the way Sam Darnold is.
You
want him to be a ghost.
They're 6-26 other than the Bills when you look at the teams that he's taken apart.
Okay.
Right? Those are the only teams he beat.
Yeah, he's not the same guy.
You know what? Yes. They got a chance to go 16-0 because favored in every game that they play from here on out. They will be favored.
Skip, he's not the same guy. He knows he's not the same guy. We've never heard Tom Brady talk in these terms before. Mm-hmm.
He could have easily poo-pooed it and just dismissed it and said, not going anywhere.
You know what I love about this guy? He is embracing the fact that he has no security. That's what drives him. That's why he jumps out of bed every morning, because he's saying, the great part for me is I don't know.
No
because
security.
Most people want, give me 5 years, give me 7 years. No. I'm Tom Brady. Pay me. No, he doesn't want.
Fueled by that.
But he has security. His wife.
He didn't have no security on. No. He's upset. Because they didn't get him no long term. Yeah. They say, we're going to do you 1 year. Yeah. We give you $8 million this year, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
And what do you do?
Dynamic.
He has made you guys eat so much crow, and he hasn't even begun to think about quitting.
He, He quit New England. Yeah. He up out of there for this one.
You think
I got
the
four
house
cases
is for
of
sale. Four cases. Is a
four
weird
cases
thing.
You don't even drink, dude.
No, for you.
For
give
what?
Me Diet
take
Coke.
It either way.
For what? This is his last
that
year.
That he will not play in New England next year.
Okay, I'll take
make
that.
Make it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Make
your
bet.
Right.
On that
we
note,
already got a bet. We
we're
going to
go
okay.
break. Rob, thank you so much for being here. No mercy. Last week, an anonymous Eagles player was critical of Carson Wentz. And earlier this week, offensive lineman Lane Johnson said players have been late to meetings and practices recently. Wentz responded to the recent turmoil by saying everything was handled internally and everyone is on the same page moving forward. And we are now joined by former Eagles cornerback Orlando Scandrick. Now, Orlando, you were in that locker room as recently as Sunday.
Boy, was I.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, you're welcome here as opposed to there.
Thanks, right, thanks. Yes. I like the change.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, bro.
Let's dive right into it.
Okay, let's go. Now,
how surprised were you that the Eagles let you go?
Very surprised. I had a very productive game coming back against the Jets, and then we go up to Minnesota and we get smashed. Mm-hmm. And then we go to Dallas and we get smashed. And then it felt kind of scapegoatish.
You played a whole bunch against, it was, yeah, scapegoatish. But you played 51 snaps, I think, against Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have my best performance. You know, I had some rough moments, but who doesn't have rough moments in this league? Yeah. But it felt really, really scapegoatish. The problem in Philadelphia is much, much deeper than me.
Hmm. What? You want to elaborate what some of the problems are? Because we hear a lot of talking coming in and out of that locker room. What's some of the problems that's going on?
I think they're having a tough time dealing with success. Hmm. Whenever you got to say, oh, we're going to get it together. Oh, no one believes in us. Oh, it's about us. You already doomed.
Hmm. So, scapegoatish, as in Zach Brown, it was a week ago. And
Zach Brown goes out and says, you know, we need to put it in the quarterback's hand. He gets released. Mm-hmm. The head Kirk coach Cousins, goes out and says, oh, we're going to go down to Dallas and we're going to win and go be in first place.
Should he get released? No, he did not, but maybe so. And then you and Akeem Spence went.
I mean, how it was explained to me from Howie, and I don't believe anything that Howie says. GM. Howie is one of the people that if he told me it was raining outside, I'd probably, you know, get some shorts just in case.
That's tough. That's strong.
He put it to me as he wanted to play some younger players and they're a mess on defense and they needed to get some more defensive linemen. So we'll see how that works for him this weekend up in Buffalo.
Hmm. How much dissension did you feel inside the locker room? Lane Johnson said guys are late for meetings. Was there turmoil in the locker room that you could see and feel?
Let's just say where there's smoke, there's fire. You've been in a lot of locker rooms. Mm-hmm. If me and you are having a conversation in the locker room and it gets leaked to him, so he's going to get the edited version. What was the version that me and you were actually talking about?
Right.
Hmm. So what about the report that Alshon was the one who took an anonymous shot at the quarterback?
I love Alshon, and I'm going to take it for what he said. It wasn't him. But it came from somewhere. Once again, where there's smoke, there's fire. That locker room is different. I would tell guys when I came there, like, I still feel like they're living on that Super Bowl high. Like, it's over. You living in the past. But some of those guys came in the league, and the first thing they experienced was 13-3 in a Super Bowl, and they think that's what it's all about. How many years you play?
14.
How many Super Bowls?
Three.
How hard was it to get there? How many years did it?
Yeah, three Super Bowls and 11 years was basically not successful. I don't look
but
at
you
it.
Were one of the lucky ones.
Right, yeah. Right.
And for me, 12 years. No Super Bowls, no Super Bowl appearances. And some of those guys, they haven't even faced the harsh reality of a losing season. But at this rate that what's going on there, it's the problem is not just fixable by saying we're all going to stick together. You say we're all going to stick together, we're all in this together, but then you get Lane saying people's late to meetings. There's some accountability issues going on there, and it starts from the top.
Mm.
So you notice, but the problem that I have with Lane, and he talks a lot, and that's his right.
He often backs it up.
He backs it up. Yeah, he's a good player.
Yep.
But is this something that you could have said privately?
I was just talking about that to somebody. Like, why not go to that guy and tell him on the plane?
Right.
But for me, that was like a masking, like, thing. I think Lane is a hell of a player, and we all can agree with that.
Right.
He didn't have a hell of a game on Sunday.
Right.
So instead of, you know, going out and attacking somebody being late, you know, the first thing that you could have did is just looked in the mirror and maybe went to that guy and pulled him to the side and said, hey, we can't be late. We got to get this together. We got to set examples. We're the vets on this team, because they're not talking about a rookie being late. They're not talking about just some guy that's a 52nd, 53rd man on the roster, some guy that doesn't play and active being late. That comment is about somebody of some significance. So instead of hiding behind a...
I don't know who it is,
you know, and I didn't. I wasn't there long enough to even dive into that. That comment was made. I was released the next day. But
the thing is that I'm looking at, Skip, it's hard for me to believe that the guy was just late before the Dallas game. So what happened when you won these last couple of games in a row? So no, everybody was up on time, showed up on time, to meetings on time, on practice on time, but it just the week before Dallas, guys started coming late to meetings, coming late to practice.
Not at all, Shannon. You already know.
Exactly.
When you lose, you know, the fingers is you. And then when you have success, it's like, oh, it's fine, you know, let it slip through the cracks. But it's some issues going on there.
As you know, all that success you mentioned was achieved with Nick Foles at quarterback.
Absolutely.
He was almost worshipped. They built a shrine in the locker room. This is pre-you. Who was it?
Chris Long
built a shrine to Nick Foles in the locker room in two straight playoffs. One, he cashed in with the Super Bowl MVP, and last year won the big game at Chicago, and then Alshon missed a pass right in his hands, or they might have pulled off a win at New Orleans.
Correct.
So now you have the young quarterback back in. How much pressure is on him, and how is he handling that?
There's a ton of pressure on him, but let's just start here. Nick Foles is not walking through that door.
No.
At all.
Right.
Not at all. And I think, are there some people in that locker room that still would probably want Nick? Yeah. But that's not a knock against Carson.
Okay.
It's just everything that Nick has achieved. But he's not walking through that locker room. And clearly the organization has shown everybody, the fan base, the players, the coaches, they're all in on Carson. It's his team. So somewhere in the happy medium, they're going to have to figure out
how to get over what he done.
Yet there was a big story in PhillyVoice.com questioning Carson's leadership. This is in the offseason before you got there. How did you sense his growth as a leader? How did it sort of resonate through the locker room or not resonate?
I love Carson. I mean, I thought that he was a great guy. I thought he was stand up. I thought he was... I'm going to compare him to your quarterback.
Okay.
I spent enough time with both of them. Dak, natural born. Yeah. First one in the building. Mm-hmm. Last one out. Doing extra things.
That might be his greatest strength.
Doing extra things. Yeah. Carson, if you go back to earlier in the season, they dropped a few passes, and now they want to stay after practice and catch some extra passes. That's adversity, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you handle success? When you handle success, when you rip off a few games, does everybody just get in at 7:15 and leave at 6:14? And I think they're dealing with that right now. That success is really, really hurting them right now.
How much dissension did you feel in the defensive huddle as things unraveled at Minnesota and then at Dallas? Was there any talking? Was there any clashing?
No, I think on defense, I think they have stuck together pretty good. I think there's some selfish people on that defense, though.
Do you?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that Rasul Douglas, who's a good friend of mine, I think he took some unwanted heat for some blown coverages on some other people's selfish play.
Mm.
And we don't even have to say names.
Yeah, we do. I know you're talking about.
We don't have to say names at all. They know who they are.
Mm. Well, you're not talking about...
He played
about...
in the middle of... Let's just say he's not a corner. I believe it at that. He's not a corner.
Shannon, you know football.
I do know football.
Mm.
And Skip, you've watched a lot of football.
Oh, I know a lot of football.
So I think...
It might have been the guy that got ran over, Skip. I don't know, but it might have been him.
Hmm. Guy named Jenkins, maybe?
I don't know.
Malcolm Jenkins? Maybe that's who we're talking about.
Maybe we talk about Roscoe Jenkins.
Maybe Roscoe.
Paul Roscoe Jenkins.
It could. But, I mean, I think that when you wear a C on your jersey, it's your job to bring guys along. It's your job to sometimes you need to take the hard down. You need to take the hard job. And you need to, like, bring the thing together. I don't know if that's the case.
Mm.
You know,
strong.
You look at everything that happened. You hold out for a contract. You come in. You're not really making any plays, like splash plays. Then you go down to Minnesota and, you know, you somehow are supposed to be in the half of the field and you end up playing a crosser.
Mm.
That's not a rookie we're talking about here.
Mm.
It's a two-time Super Bowl champ.
That is true. How much of a statement did you feel like Ezekiel Elliott made on that early play where he did run over said Malcolm Jenkins?
Man, Zeke came out on the mission. When you go into somebody's house, I've been on the other side of that locker room, and when you go into somebody's house and you tell them what they're going to do, I can't come to your house and tell you I'm going to move your furniture and put my TV in my bed right here. And I think that's we wasn't going to talk ourselves to a victory. We tried it.
How did it play in the locker room when Doug Peterson seemed to guarantee and then seemed to walk it back?
That whole thing was strange, man. Mm-hmm. Just being a part of that Dallas Cowboy organization for so long and then going to being a part of two other organizations, I never really felt like at home. If I could take back one thing or one regret that I have in my whole entire sports career, it would have been to stay with that Dallas Cowboy organization through thick and thin. And I had a long, long conversation with Sean Lee before the game. And
did you?
You know.
On the field?
No, on the phone.
On the
Me
phone?
And Sean are
really?
Great friends. We had a long conversation that wasn't even about, like, football. It just was about, like, his loyalty to Dallas and, you know, and how I was happy for him for grinding through it and being healthy and continuing to, like, fight despite what everyone said about him. And, you know, he was just telling me, like, he loves it. He loves being in Dallas. He's the work that he's put in with those guys. He loves coming to work every day. And I can't say my last 2 years of football has been like that.
Mm. And by the way, Sean Lee played really well the other day.
Man, he's a baller.
He's a baller. I mean, given where he is in his career, he played well in that game.
He's a baller. I mean, he can't. Injuries is part of the game.
Yeah, I know.
It's, I mean, you know, and for him, it's hard. When you've been a staple, you've had that captaincy, you've been a Pro Bowl player on that team, and then they bring in the two young guys. You got Jalen Smith, you got Vander Esch, and all of a sudden it's like, bro, we need you to take a back seat. And it's okay. They put him on special teams a little bit, and it's like now he's back in the starting lineup as a weak side linebacker. Mm-hmm. He's doing what Sean Lee does.
Yep. I don't care if he got a C on his jersey or not, he a captain.
Yeah.
His actions show you everything. He don't have to say a word. If you go out and you never even watched football before and you watch number 50 practice and play, you're going to say, he's a damn good player.
Mm. What do you see now from the Cowboys secondary?
Man, I'm so happy for those dudes. I gave Byron a huge, huge hug. Just his development.
Byron Jones.
He's finally comfortable. Mm-hmm. I'm happy Jordan is playing.
Jordan Lewis, yep.
Anthony Brown, you know, someone who I spent a lot of time with. But, I mean, his development. Xavier Woods, I'm super happy where Jeff Heath is in his career, coming from an undrafted special teams guy. Cheeto, just continuing to grow and work. Mm-hmm. And I told, yes. And I talked to Coach Richard, and I just told him, you know, I've heard nothing but great things about him. So happy for those guys, and, you know, I'm pulling for him.
Sounds like you wouldn't mind being back in Dallas.
You know, at this point, you know, football is what it is. I've had a long, long career, 12 years. It's been great for me and
longer
my family.
Longer than most.
But I'm definitely pulling for those guys. They're all still my family. Jerry, Steven, Charlotte, the grandkids, everyone that works there. I didn't get a chance to talk to Jason, but, you know, I love that guy. He takes a lot of flack for, like, just being monotone, and he always has the same message, and every other week he's going to get fired. But what does he do? He gets up in the morning, comes to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he delivers a message, and he motivates that team and gets them ready to play.
Is Jeff Heath good enough for them to go win the NFC with
Absolutely.
Him in safety?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Why?
Look at him. He's long. He's smart. He's selfless. He does everything that's asked of him. You know, he's a team player. He makes other people better. And he's going to play special teams. He's going to do whatever you ask him to do, and he's not going to complain.
He will run into people. I'll give him that. Sometimes he blows himself up.
And they keep trying to bring people in to replace it.
They do.
And he keeps staying in the starting lineup. So
Absolutely.
That's telling you something.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, I'm sorry, I didn't hear what just got said. Do we want to stay here with Orlando, or what are we doing?
I guess.
Yes, okay. So let's talk some Cowboys offense now. What did you see Sunday from Dak Prescott?
More than a game manager. I seen a guy that had control of the offense, that was commanding the offense. They was doing whatever they wanted to. Run it for 8 yards, play action it, quarterback keep it. Whatever they wanted to do.
How much
it was like a video game.
Yeah, it became that. How much growth have you seen in that quarterback?
Great. It used to be play action and, you know, kind of hit guys wide open, but now it's drop back pass, audible. He made audible and zero coverage against us, something that I hadn't seen him do since training camp.
Mm. Randall Cobb.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was my fault.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. For not being inside.
Inside, you jump. You know better.
I do.
You know better.
I do.
You know you never let a guy cross your face in
never,
zero.
But sometimes you guess wrong.
So you were clueing, as they say, on that play.
You know, I thought I had an inclination. Plan for the sprint out.
Yep.
But he's commanding the offense, and he does something that winning teams do. They have a formula for winning. They don't turn it over. They run the ball, and they play great defense.
Mm-hmm. What does Amari Cooper mean to him? Do you see a different Dak with Amari?
That man's a man. He's a monster. But, I mean, he just gives it somewhere that he can throw him open. And, you know, he makes some throws that aren't always on the money, and Amari bails him out. I think they're great for each other. I think that change of scenery was good for Amari to get out of Oakland.
Did you have Amari in coverage much?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Because you were in slot?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, as a route runner, when you watch Amari on tape, how good is he?
He's great. I mean, he's patient. He sells it. I think Amari is the best route runner I've seen since Chad Johnson.
Whew.
Yeah. He's technically sound.
That's a big compliment.
He's technically sound. And that's the one of the things that you want to have in a route runner, Skip, is you want to have patience. Because sometimes guys, especially, now in practice, you know, guys take their time and it's like, but you know, come game time, it's going to speed up. You know, the quarterback, that clock has to go off in your head. But he's like, I got time. Because you have to understand, is the quarterback under center or is he in the shotgun? Because if you speed that route up and the quarterback's not ready to throw it, mm-hmm. what good are you being open? He's not ready to throw you the ball.
I mean, I'm going to use an example from the game. I think it was second quarter. It was about 2:10 to go. They start 3-by-1. They motion them across for ID motion. They see, okay, we got single high.
Right.
That sluggo that he ran backside.
Yeah.
Oh, the fact that he was able to press it up 3 yards, take two steps in, whip his head, and then accelerate out of it was just, it was almost like it was on air. It was like he knew, I'm going to do this. I don't care what this DB do. I'm not going to let him speed me up. I'm going to run it like it's on air.
What's his game speed like to you?
He play fast. But when you're confident and you know what you're doing and you're confident in your technique, it allows you to play fast.
So he's not a blazer like, I don't know.
I don't care about 40s, none of that 40 GPS, none of that matters. Well, people don't catch him from behind.
Like Deshaun, who hasn't been healthy, but it seems like Deshaun can still fly, by people.
He can, yeah. But they're just different.
They're different.
Deshaun is, in my opinion, he's going to Hall of Fame, you know, his stats. But Amari Cooper, what he's doing right now is a clinic. If you're a young receiver and you want to be a receiver, you put on some Amari Cooper tape.
Awesome. So let's bring it back to Philadelphia. Philly plays at Buffalo on Sunday.
Good luck.
This is a good luck to me. Thank you for saying that, because it's time for us to predict this game. And I'll just plunge out there. I think it's wrong place, wrong time for the Eagles to try to fix what ails their offense against that Buffalo defense. It's going to rain. It's going to be windy. And it's going to be hard to score. So I'm going to say Buffalo wins 17-14.
I'm going 20-17 Eagles.
You hope, wish.
You make it seem like Buffalo got this dynamic, dynastic offense.
No.
As long as you don't turn it over, you'll be in great shape. Buffalo pride themselves on taking the ball away because they're not moving the ball. You got to give them short fields. They're not driving the ball down the field. You can't beat Buffalo. You're in a world of hurt, Eagles.
Yeah, but remember, the Eagles are missing Orlando Scandrick now.
No, it's not have anything to do with me. Has a lot to do with them going to play three defensive tackles that have never played in an NFL game before.
Because no Akeem Spence, right?
You got Fletcher Cox. You're going to have
Barnett.
Yeah. And you're going to have Graham. Those dudes are phenomenal. Right. But if you can't stop the run, if you can't stop a team from running, you can do whatever you want.
Well, they couldn't stop anything because it looks like that stat where they were the second best rush defense in football was inflated because teams were throwing the ball on you guys, Scant. I mean, to be honest with you guys, so if I can throw the ball, why the hell I need to run it? I'm just going to throw the ball for 400 plus.
Absolutely.
And then all of a sudden we saw Dallas. Dallas like, we're going to run it and we're going to throw it. We're going to do what we want to do. If you can't stop one aspect of a team's offense, you can't beat them. You're never going to beat them. And you guys couldn't stop. You couldn't stop the run. Zeke was eating when he wanted to, and now Dak can play action you.
I think when they go up to Buffalo, I think Buffalo's going to try to establish the run game and play defense.
Yeah.
Play keep away with the ball a little bit. And I think they got enough weapons on offense to score points. They get paid too, Shannon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No problem. Yeah. I got 2017 Eagles.
Okay. We'll see.
We will be tied.
Really?
Cowboys and Eagles will be tied.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Tied.
I'll give you that.
Tied.
But then it starts.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're off this week. So.
That's the only way you didn't lose. By the time you won, been a month.
Yeah.
Okay. Lose to the Jets. You saw the Jets on Monday night.
Happens.
That can't happen. Mm. That can't happen. Mm.
So, do you still want to play?
That's a tough question.
No. That's a tough question. You don't want to play.
The political side of it and the release, play young players. You know, it's hard to play this game when they don't have anything invested into you. You know, this is a business, too. I got a family. I got kids. So, to just get up and say, oh, I'm going to go play somewhere for a few weeks to make a couple $100,000, that ain't really going to move the needle for me. Mm.
Although, at some point, that $200,000 will seem like pretty good money.
I'll be fine.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Orlando, thank you so much for joining us. We love the insight. We love the honesty. That was awesome.
If you want to do this for a living, you probably got a shot.
Thank you.
Yeah. No mercy.
Welcome back to Undisputed. The one and only Magic Johnson is joining us today. What a treat. How you doing, Magic?
I'm doing great, especially when I saw the three Hall of Fame tight ends doing the show. I said, my boy, that's going to be great. I can't wait, man.
Thank you.
I cannot wait.
Had a great time.
Yes, of course. And all of you are different, too. So
very.
You're bringing something different to the table. I'm going to be checking that out.
I appreciate that, man.
And Skip.
Yes, sir.
You know, you and I go back. And congratulations to your wife and her book and everything.
Thank you very much. Ernestine's book, Balls, is doing great on Amazon. I appreciate you helping promote it. Out of the blue, Magic, just without fanfare. Well,
before we go on, you get to your question. What, you blinging, baby. What's up? You just changed up on me.
I'm dripping.
On Friday, he's drip Bayless.
Okay,
not Skip, drip Bayless.
Okay, got it now.
Thanks to my man Lil Wayne, who also gave Shannon one. So
okay.
He doesn't display his quite as often.
Well, he's sharp already. You know, he's playing it like, you know how we do it.
Yeah. So when you did step aside from the Los Angeles Lakers, you said, I need to get back to being Magic. Mm-hmm. And we want to know, how happy has it made you to get back to being that guy as opposed to being confined to having to be working under the auspices of the Lakers?
Great question, Skip. I'm so happy. You know, I'm back to building my business. I'm back to, I get to say what I want, you know, about any player, you know, because I'm an ambassador. Before I took that role, I love the NBA.
Right.
I love promoting the game, the players. And I love for me to take them aside when they want to get into business.
Right.
And so all those things I couldn't do in that role. So now I'm back to, I can say what I want, do what I want. Also, to the freedom of going and building my business. Because, listen, before I took that role, my business was growing, you know, in terms of infrastructure, in terms of, I have a financial business, a services business. We're $20 billion now. You know, so just building all those is really exciting.
Were you neglecting those while
you were yes. Because it was tough to juggle both, but I said, hey, I'm going to step aside a little bit so I can get this thing right. And the blessing is we got LeBron to sign up.
Right.
And then now, you know, with AD now and the players that they have now, the Lakers have a good job. But I love Jeannie Buss, and we'll always be brother and sister. And if she called me today, hey, I'll be right over there to help her out any way that I can.
Do you communicate with her fairly often?
No, not right now. I communicate with a lot of people over at the Lakers because they're asking me questions. And the biggest question was LeBron James playing point guard. How did that work for you when you played it for the Lakers? And what happens on defense? So I told him I would always play the guy who was the least offensive-minded guy on the team. So if there was a great and fast point guard, Byron Scott would slide over and play him. If say the two guard was great as well, James Worthy would guard him, and then I would take the small forward. So it just depends on who the guy is that's not really offensive-minded as the opponent.
Because you were spending so much energy
there you
on
go.
The other side.
Okay. And we saw that the other night. And that's what I don't want for LeBron. Mm. I think LeBron should go back to being the point forward than being the point guard because he got to spend so much energy. And he's 35
years old. On his birthday.
Exactly. So I'd rather for him doing that so he can take over the game in the fourth quarter.
Right. Mm. So you, Magic, I thought watching the game is that he went out of his way too much to get Anthony Davis involved. And it took him out of his game. It took him out of rhythm because when we think about the post-up game, you had the Showtime Lakers. You guys were getting the ball up and down the court with Kareem.
Right.
And then when you couldn't get it up and down, Kareem got on the block. You come to the side, give it to him. He going to throw the sky hook over one shoulder or the other.
Shannon, you're absolutely right. What we didn't see, because they were trying to force it into AD.
Right.
We didn't see the fast break.
Right.
The Clippers dominated the Lakers on the fast break. What, it was 20-something?
22-5.
Yes, yes. And so LeBron is great when listen, that freight train coming down and there's only one or two guys to beat.
It's unstoppable.
He's unstoppable. So what happened was they force-fed AD down on the post. But what they got to do, to your point, run it. Okay, where's all the other options first? Then AD flows and get it to him. But what we didn't see was the pick and roll play. Mm-mm. In preseason, the Lakers, LeBron and AD on that pick and roll was unstoppable. And I didn't see that in game one. I don't know. I can't tell you.
It was working early just to dump it to him because he was just wheeling on two defenders and scoring.
Right.
And then by the fourth quarter, remember, AD in the fourth quarter went 0-for-2.
Yeah.
I mean, that's as quiet as you can get.
Right? Well, it was a fantastic game. Remember, the Clippers went up 15. The Lakers closed, so it was tied at the end of the third quarter.
It was.
Always the key to the fourth quarter is what team gets off the first 4 or 5 minutes. And the Clippers got off, went on, I think, a 10-12-0 run, and it was basically over with. So in the fourth quarter, you got to go back to really them two doing pick and roll. I'm talking about LeBron and AD. Mm-hmm. Then have your spot up shooters, because once LeBron gets into the lane, you know, he's going to pick you apart, whether he's going to score or he's kicking it to the shooters. And Green was hot.
Yeah.
I mean, he played awesome for the Lakers. But this first game is all about, and you know this, let me see how this all going to work.
Right.
Okay, Clippers saying, let me see how AD and LeBron going to work, Danny Green, Avery Bradley. Okay, the Lakers saying, let me see how Kawhi is, what is he going to add to the Clippers? So this is a game of, okay, I'm going to feel each other out. The next game, when PG comes back, Paul George, when Kuzma is back, that's going to be the game everybody will see, okay, how good is the Clippers? How good is the Lakers? Right. And what do we have to do during the trade deadline to make a move? Because one team's going to have to make a move to get better because they're going to feel the other team is better.
Hmm. So speaking of LeBron, there's a lot of conjecture about how you parted with LeBron when you stepped aside. How do you feel about what relationship remains with you and LeBron?
We're fine. Rich Paul, Maverick, LeBron, I love them, right? And it wasn't that I departed with LeBron. You know, I recruited him here. He wanted to be here. I wanted to help him out in business. Not just him, Rich Paul and Maverick. I did a couple of his shows, things of that nature. I'm still here for him, right? I can still play that role of the big brother.
Right.
Nothing has changed other than I'm not sitting in that seat, right? Now, if somebody called me to recruit a player for the Lakers, I'd do that. I did that.
Right.
You know, I recruited Kawhi, even with all the things that was going on.
Right.
I talked to Kawhi and his uncle, right? So I think I can help him more in this role. Because now I'm not handcuffed on what I can say, what I can do. And so I'm going to always love LeBron because he took a chance on me and he took a chance on the Lakers. And he had options. He could have went anywhere.
Okay.
And so I think he understands that, hey, listen, if I'm not happy, you know, I'm never going to stay for money. I'm never going to stay for the lights, you know. I'm going to stay because my heart is...
You took a pay cut.
You got that right. Don't tell nobody. Wait a minute, Shannon. Don't tell nobody. But LeBron and I are good.
But there were some reports that he was a little wounded that you didn't let him know before you announced that you were...
That part, I can understand.
Okay.
Right? And but at the same time, I'm a guy who... I always have a plan, right? I think things out thoroughly, and the decision was made for me, right, for my comfort level. And not just I didn't tell LeBron, I didn't even tell Jeannie Buss.
Yeah.
So you have to remember.
Good point.
So I love both of them. And again,
you talk with LeBron since?
No, because season, my birthday was going on. You know, I had a lot going on. But I will sit down with LeBron and Rich Paul and Maverick because it's all three of them.
Right.
You know, it's not just LeBron. It's all three of them. No mercy.
Welcome back to Undisputed. Magic Johnson is still with us and is sticking with us for the remainder of the show. So lucky us. And I'm sure, Skip, you've got a lot more to ask Magic.
So after you stepped aside, the Laker front office took an enormous amount of national criticism for their dysfunction. There are lots of reports that actually Linda Rambis and Kurt Rambis, her husband, made many of the biggest decisions, not Jeannie. Mm-hmm. So put that in perspective for us. How did you see the organization run from the top?
Yeah, Jeannie is still running everything. She makes all the final calls. Linda has been working with Jeannie forever, 40 mm-hmm. years, I think it is, or just about 40. So I think Linda always is a person that, a go-to person for Jeannie. And they're best friends. Kurt came in. Actually, you know, I brought Kurt in. And so Kurt knows the game of basketball. So he was a good person for me to lean on. Are we going in the right direction? On and on and on. What do you think about the offense that Luke Walton was running? You know, things of that nature.
Right.
So I needed more basketball expertise within the Laker organization. I thought Rob did a nice job of signing.
Yep.
Rob Pelinka did a nice job of signing, Green, Bradley, all those guys.
He did. He had a scramble.
Yeah, he had a scramble. Yeah. But, you know, Kawhi Leonard was worth waiting for.
Right.
You know, because if Kawhi comes, I mean.
By the way, were you shocked that he went Clippers?
No. He was going to come to the Lakers unless they got Paul George, right? And, you know, give Jerry West and Mr. Ballmer all them credit
right.
for going out making that trade. And also, too, you know what I like? I like the fact that we quite don't know who's going to win the championship.
Right.
Because it's good for the basketball fans.
Oh, sure.
Right. Because, man, the West is stacked.
It's loaded.
It is stacked. I mean, listen, there's no off nights no more in the NBA.
No.
Even the
not
bad
the West.
Team. No.
Not the West. Not the West.
I mean, you play Phoenix, Sacramento, they can beat you.
They can.
Right? All the way up to the best team. Yeah. So, Jeannie is a great CEO, great chairman. She knows what she's doing. She's so super smart. And I think she has all the right people in place. The only thing I worry about, she just don't have nobody there that, you know, she can lean on. Who is there to lean
on?
That was me. That was my role. Right. And she could trust me because I didn't want nothing.
Right.
I was there for the right reasons.
So if Rob had not been sitting between you and Jeannie, would you still be there?
If I could have just made the calls that I wanted to make, which was, you know, Luke was not ready at that time. But I'm happy for him. He went to Sacramento. He's going to do a great job. Sometimes you get fired and you'll do a better job.
The second time around.
Exactly. And so I know it was conflict. It was tough. Listen, he an ex-Laker. I'm an ex-Laker, you know. And she loves both of us to death, right? And so, but, hey, she made the call. I made a decision. And now we got to move on. And I'm here for her, though. And she knows that. And I'm here for the Lakers. I'm a Laker, man. I'm never going
to. So it came down to whether Luke stays or goes then.
For me, just to if you go, you have to empower me. If you brought me in to be the president, you got to give me that power because now I'm going to take all the criticism when it goes wrong, right?
Right.
Magic don't know what he's doing or so on. So I got to have my team, my guys in those positions. And I don't mind taking the bullets then, right? I don't mind taking, you know,
criticism and the blowback that's going to come along with that because those are your guys.
That's right. That's
right. Did she just tell you this is what we're going to do?
No. She was conflicted because it was tough. You know, she's sitting there, you know, she loves Luke, love me, and then we love her. And we're all friends with her, too, right. at the same time. Yeah. So I didn't want to put her in that position anymore. So I just stepped aside. And so I think that, and Tim Lewicki is there. So Tim will be, I'm sorry, I said Tim like Wiggins. He used to be with AG. Okay. But Tim is there, so he can help her as well.
But isn't it hard magic if you're the CEO, and this is with anything, if you've come too close, it clouds your judgment and make decisions like what she has to make. It makes it more difficult.
Yes.
You're not supposed to get attached because you're going to have to make those tough decisions at some point, trade a player or fire a coach or do something. Right. And when you're that close, it clouds your judgment.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's why I understood. You know, I went home and for two nights and I couldn't sleep.
Right.
I said, Irvin, what are you doing, right? You're putting her in a tough position.
Right.
And I looked up and said, I really don't need this.
Right.
Right? I said, I'm here for the right reasons, but I don't need it.
Right.
So let me step aside. Let her go back to making the decisions, not being in a tough position because right. she likes me and likes Luke. And I'm sure she's had some sleepless nights as well.
Right.
Because I was putting pressure on her, you know, got to make this move.
Right.
And we're trying to win the championship, and I don't think he was a championship coach. So it was tough. And listen, I love her. She's doing a wonderful job. And she went out. Look, when I stepped aside, look what happened. I mean, AD trade. I mean, things happen, and the Lakers are in a great position.
Okay, but what if you had pulled off the AD trade at the trade deadline? Would you still be in power?
Oh, I would still be there.
Okay.
And then I could have the coach that I wanted. Mm-hmm. I'd still be there, of course.
Okay. And you know, I think the same things would have transpired, right? Everything would have fallen into place.
Yeah, yeah. Everything would have fallen into place. And also, too, you know, Kawhi, knowing him, knowing the uncle. So we had some great conversations, right. too. So we would have had just as good a shot as we had before, but I think even better with me in that position.
Oh, so maybe...
I'm not saying that he would have came to the Lakers, but I'm saying I think we would have had a better shot at him.
Oof.
But why wouldn't Dale Demps do the deal that David Griffin just did?
It got him fired. See, it's the same...
Pride got in the way.
Yes, and he was looking at me like, I caused Anthony Davis to want to be traded.
Right.
So we're on the phone. Right. And he's blaming me. I said, what are you blaming me for, Dale? I heard he wanted to be traded, so I'm giving you a call.
Right.
Are you going to trade him? You're not going to trade him? And so he had me send 3 or 4 proposals, but he never got serious, Shannon. Mm-hmm. He never got serious. And I said, I told Rob, I told Jeannie, he doesn't want to trade AD to us. And sure enough, the last one was, give us your whole team and 5 first-round picks. I said, listen, man.
This ain't no 2-on-2.
I can't give you 5 first-round picks and the whole team.
Right.
You know, you want all our young guys. And I said, no, I can't do it now. That's when I said, he doesn't want to trade them.
Right.
You know, and then look what happened. When they found out, the owner found out what was the trade proposal
right.
from us.
Right.
She was like, oh, what are you doing? And then the new general manager comes. And
that's the exact same trade that you had on the table that they accepted.
Well, is it the same? It's
basically the same. Okay. You got the young guys and you got the...
What, was Kuzma included in it?
Well, remember, it could have went either way.
Okay.
They had proposals with them, proposals without them.
Right.
So that was the deal.
Okay, how good can Anthony Davis be as a Laker?
I mean, he could be the next great big man. He has everything. He can shoot it from the outside. He can take you off the dribble at 6'11". He can score inside, outside, block shots. He's a great defender. And they got to hopefully sign him either during the year or after the season, because when LeBron says, I'm gone, you still got a superstar
right.
to build.
And other players want to come.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and play with him. Once you get that superstar, especially in a place like Los Angeles, especially for the Lakers, now other superstars mm-hmm. want to come and other players want to come. That's what happened when, you know, think about it. Danny Green had options.
Right.
A.B. Bradley had options, so they could have went other places.
Sure.
But because of those two superstars, they wanted to play with them.
My only concern about Anthony here, as I voiced to this man across the table, is he got to play sort of in the shadows in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And boy, Tuesday night, those lights were bright out there. As you well know, these are the brightest lights. And I don't think he's experienced that yet. and I'm not sure he can keep standing up to it, depending on how great LeBron can be in year 17. LeBron's going to have to share some of that superstar load with him.
Well, I think that also Kyle Kuzma's going to take a lot of pressure off both of them.
Okay.
See, you need the other scorer in there and a guy that can stretch the floor as well, and Kyle Kuzma can do that. And listen, you know, we saw him rookie season, the next season, last season. Kyle is taking steps and
so
steps.
So you believe
in Kyle? Oh, yeah. Because I see him working in the gym. He's like this dude in the gym. Yeah. I'm talking about a gym rat.
Right.
A guy who gets there earlier than anybody, 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock, shooting. Anybody would love to play with Kyle Kuzma because he is a guy that loves the lights. So you're talking about lights?
There we go.
He embraces that. And I think Anthony will adjust to Los Angeles. He will adjust to being a Laker. It just takes time. It's only one game. And that's why I didn't really...
Say it again, Magic. How many games is it?
One.
Because they're talking about their home.
One game. It's one game.
Yep.
Listen, I remember we got beat. Houston blew us out in Houston when they had the Twin Towers, right? Everybody was going, it's the new way of playing basketball. You got to have 2 7-footers. Mm. You know what ended up happening. We won that championship. You know, so the first game, we had to fill Houston out, just like they had to fill us out. Mm. Lakers, Clippers had to fill each other out. So it's going to be amazing. Let's see what happens on Christmas, the second game. And then you watch what happens the third game.
Yep.
And then you wait till the playoff. But so, these two teams are going to be great.
So speaking of one game, you went to a game last night, I understand. LAFC versus Galaxy. And they advanced to the Western Conference Final.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We finally beat them. The Galaxy had been dominating us. It was tough to beat them. And also, too, they seem to be like the Patriots in football, right? The Galaxy has more MLS championships than anybody. And for us, that's been the team that we just couldn't beat, even though we had the best record this season.
Right. Mm.
So that was a big game for our fans and our players, their confidence. And so being one of the owners, I'm so happy. I'm happy for everybody. And L.A., we're representing you now. So we move on to Seattle on Tuesday, see what happens. Mm. No
mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Monday for another week of Undisputed. We'll see you then. Facts, sports, one of one.